Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of Famula One. I'm your host, Jamie. I'm here with my sister, Jack.
Hi, everybody.
And how are we feeling post-Japan? Give a one-word vibe check.
I guess humbled. I'm like I got checked again, you know?
I am feeling elated.
Well, I'm sure you are.
We had a great
shocker there.
Me and the rest of Team 55, we had a lovely, lovely time. We'll get into that. We do have some news, though. Some news that excited me. I would assume
news that excited me as well. Yeah. We have been very outspoken about them. So, yeah, huge love.
Huge. So, you know, if you've listened to, I do think we mention them every episode. So if you've probably listened to any of our episodes, you know that we are huge, huge, huge Andretti fans and very, very much supportive of them getting into F1. So we were both very excited to see the news that Andretti has opened a new F1 facility at Silverstone Park.
Love it.
So exciting. Literally, I was shocked in the statement on Twitter. They literally said, like, excited to announce our new facility at Silverstone Park, preparing us to enter into the FIA Formula One World Championship. I was like, you guys got that denial and you said, I don't see it.
Which I feel like is the most American thing you could do. Like, yes. It's so on brand.
they're America's team. Like, I'm so here for this.
And you know what, like, the incredible Kris Jenner will always say, if you're told no, you're just asking the wrong person. And so.
It's not rejection. It's just redirection.
Yeah. I kind of hated that.
Hey, what is that? Is that like therapy speak? Where does that come from?
That's got to be on, you know, those like inspiration posters, those business ones. That's like a cat hanging from a rope or something. It's like dedication. And that's all it says on the bottom. I think it's got to be one of those.
Yeah. But I very much support this new effort. So the new facility, it houses manufacturing and research and development facilities, and they'll work in partnership with Andretti's Indiana site, which is their HQ in Indiana, as well as the team's Formula E base in Banbury. So this will be, it sounds like it'll become their like Formula One hub, and they'll work. You know, I think like Mercedes and a few other teams have like quote unquote Silverstone as their home track so that they can test and do things and stuff like that. Just a quick note, we have also mentioned the Silverstone Hotel before. So Andretti, as you prepare to start testing things or anything like that, just want to let you know, Jack and I are free and absolutely willing to, you know, stay at that hotel if you need, keep an eye on the track, just kind of have boots on the ground there. We're happy to do that.
Yeah, and I know everyone's anxiously hearing to hear about my passport status. I still don't have a new one, but it is in the works.
Yeah, so if you could just give us like a couple months, Andretti.
Yeah.
And then we're good to go. I personally have my passport ready to go. So if you even want to just fly me out there and Jack can meet me, like whatever works best for you.
Jamie can just FaceTime me in. I mean, I'm working on it. It's going to happen.
Jack, this has been such a series.
I know.
How long does it take to get a passport?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it.
I can't. I can't be talking trash about that because I have not done my taxes yet.
Oh. Oh my God, Jamie.
I'll get them done. I have to like the 15th or whatever.
You have 5 days.
Yeah. Plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
But in an interview with Sky Sports F1, Michael Andretti said that we are still working along with FOM and we will show that we are bringing a lot to the party. I think once everyone understands what we are really putting together, it'll be a point where they can't say no.
Yeah.
Which you can't argue with that.
I hope so. I want them on the grid.
By any means necessary, get them on the grid.
Yeah. I mean, say your second driver is Fernando Alonso, and I think it will happen.
Yeah.
Get Fernando Alonso on board. You guys will get your approval.
You know, and crazier things have happened. Remember how crazy we thought Fernando was when he left Alpine for Aston? And look at us now. So we're Fernando Alonso is a man full of surprises. And this could be another one, Fernando. You could join America's team.
Yeah.
America's team Andretti, not Haas. I don't.
Yeah.
None of us need you to join Haas.
No. I keep forgetting. I think that just shows they're not really America's team because we keep forgetting.
Yeah, and I do wonder if we'd feel differently if we followed NASCAR more, because I know Haas is in NASCAR. But I just...
Yeah.
I don't believe that they have any sort of HQ, like, you know, how Andretti's going to have this Indianapolis headquarters. Yeah. And I could be wrong about that, but I'm not going to look it up.
Okay.
So, that's just a thing that we'll keep between all of us. That I'm not going to.
Yeah, don't share that.
Let's keep that to ourselves. This is an internal conversation.
Yeah. Keep that out of our ratings when you guys rate the podcast, please.
Oh, but yeah, also please rate the podcast. I realized the other day we've never read it.
If you could give us 5 stars, that would be incredible. I would love
that so much. I would love that so much.
Thank you. And follow us on social media, on TikTok and on Instagram. We're both on there at just Famula One.
Yep.
Oh, and we're also on YouTube. So if you want to watch us talk.
Yeah. If you want to watch us have these lovely, lovely, insightful conversations, Famula One on YouTube. Give us a subscribe. That'd be great. Give a thumbs up on those videos.
I hated that.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Comment down below.
Yeah. All the things. All the things.
God. Moving on.
Moving on. Moving on. Back to F1. There are some rumors about Alpine selling, which my brain, when I saw that, went, Andretti on the grid by any means necessary. Maybe they should just buy Alpine. However, yeah. Renault has said that they will only sell to a team willing to use their products, which throws a wrench in things for the Andretti idea, because Andretti already has a partnership with Cadillac.
Which I'm super excited to see. I want that to still happen.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if maybe like Cadillac and Renault could work something out. Or maybe they use parts, but I think Renault probably wants them to use their engine.
Yeah.
And the way that I've understood it is that Cadillac will be building their own and become an engine supplier in F1. Sick. But maybe, I mean, we'll see. It's a long season. If Alpine continues the way that they're going, maybe Renault will let go of that requirement.
Yeah, they're just like, give us money, please.
Yeah. And the last piece of news, which is another one I'm very, very excited about. Prema has announced that they will be joining the IndyCar grid from 2025 on, which is really exciting. Prema is a team in the lower Formula series, very prominent there, prominent in many other series as well. So very excited to have them joining the IndyCar grid. I think it speaks volumes about the growth of IndyCar that... Mm-hmm. This European team is coming over. I'm really excited.
And you had a driver suggestion for them.
Yes. Prema, also, if you're listening, Andretti, you are welcome to stay, but you can also exit the chat if you'd like to. Now I'm speaking to Prema. Callum Ilott is someone that I think you know, AKA he drove in Formula 3 for you. I would love it if you could maybe sign him. That would be really good for me. They did say in a press release article that they hinted towards their lineup would be a seasoned IndyCar driver and a driver that they have brought up through the ranks in the formulas. And Callum Ilott could be either of those or both.
Yeah.
Maybe their lineup's just one driver and it's just Callum.
He just hops out of one car. And yeah. That's another.
He just drives both of them at once. So we'll see.
That would be incredible.
It's like the opposite problem to Williams. They have two cars and one driver.
Yikes.
Yeah, I'm just speaking facts. Sorry. But yeah, it's very exciting. I mean, there's tons of different opportunities. So many drivers have come through the Prema ranks that are now all over. Mick Schumacher is another driver who drove for Prema, who I would love to see an IndyCar. Logan Sargeant also drove for Prema. So we'll see how the rest of the season goes, but that could be another fun option. Yeah.
They and then as far as options, a lot of people have driven for them. Yeah.
And that's just like the big names coming off the top of our heads. Like there's tons of drivers that have driven with Prema throughout the years. The one that I'm excited to see if they already have someone in mind referring to that, like seasoned professional. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that means they're talking to somebody already on the grid right now. If there's somebody, maybe they've retired and maybe they'll come back. I don't know. I mean, like Prema is a team that has a lot of connections. So I think we could
do
something really fun.
Sebastian Vettel comes back and does IndyCar.
Sebastian Vettel comes back, but he comes to IndyCar. That'd be crazy.
It'd be so funny. They're huge. They're absolutely massive. So I think they have a lot of options and they can kind of sweeten a deal. So they could get somebody, they can get a really, really cool driver lineup. So it'll be really awaiting that announcement for sure.
Yeah. That'll be fun. But yes, speaking of the Seb rumors are kicking up again about him coming out of retirement because he keeps saying the craziest things when you give him a microphone about maybe he'll come back. And the thing is here, personally, for me, for my mental sanity, I have to just assume he's lying because if I let myself get too far down that rabbit hole, I will lose my mind. So
like who he's talking to?
Like, oh, I'll just convince myself he's already signed a contract and he's coming back. Like I will go so far. I'll be like Easter eggs. Like, oh my gosh, well, Toto said this. So that's an Easter egg. And that means their new driver is Seb. And I just like, I can't let myself do that right now. We'll see how desperate I get towards the middle of the season. Maybe things will turn that way. And then we can do a whole episode on like my insane findings.
That would be really funny though. Like how you draw the connection for how he gets back on the grid and who he's racing for.
Slow descent into chaos.
Yeah. Be insanity. Your TED talk.
Yeah. It's like, you know, that meme and it's a screenshot from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia of Charlie and he has all the, like diagrams and the red string and he's like turning around and he has like bags under his eyes. Like that would be what the vibe would be. This beautiful stripe that dad put up. Thank you, dad.
Shout out dad.
Would be just covered. Like there, you wouldn't even be able to see it anymore. It would just be like pictures, like zoomed in pictures of like Seb test driving that Porsche. And I'm like, well, but the color he's wearing, I would go fully insane, which is why I can't personally lean into that right now. If you are currently leaning into that, I'm so excited for you. And I wish I could join you without going crazy, but I can't.
Send us your sources for when we do dive into the madness.
Can I caveat that with please send Jack your sources so that
you can send them to me.
And then when I'm ready to descend into madness, I'll just ask Jack for the bank of links. That'd be great.
Yeah, I'll keep them on hold for you.
Thank you so much. But moving into our weekend in Suzuka in Japan. What a weekend we had.
Before we start, can we talk about the fan that literally was dressed up as a Red Bull fan? And then as soon as the camera went on him, he whipped it all off and he was an Aston Martin fan.
I love him. I relate. It's like me.
The show
me,
is up.
Yeah.
I love him.
Like when you support multiple teams on the grid, you got to come prepared to support everybody. But there were some very funny tweets using that little clip of like me switching my favorite team as soon as my driver changes. And I'm like,
yeah,
I can relate. I could relate to that if I didn't think depending, my driver might be going to Red Bull.
Depending on where Carlos goes.
Yeah. I support a lot of teams, but I don't believe I could be wearing certain teams' merch. I'm just Kylie Kelce at heart, you know?
Yeah, you're Kylie Kelce-ing the F1 world for Carlos.
Precisely. But yeah, they always kill it with the fans. Did you see the other fan that had the sign that was like, I skipped school to be here?
And then there was like a baby that had...
There were so many little babies in race suits. It was so cute. Yeah.
It was so cute. Oh. And they just have, I don't know. I think feel like Japan would just be so fun.
Oh, yeah. And it's like just a really incredible country. And seems like a very fun race. I'd be so down.
Yeah. Like, they obviously root for Yuki because it's his home race. But I feel like they all just want a good race.
They have like a really good
when there's overtakes. It was awesome.
Yeah. And like, I feel like I would be somewhat among friends because the Japan fan base also loves Seb to an insane degree. So I would feel very comfortable in that group.
Yeah. They do.
And Seb has his B corner. We could go visit the B corner. Okay.
I want to go see the B corner.
I think we have to go to Japan.
We got to go to Japan. Yeah. God, that's going to be a long flight.
Yeah. We might. Yeah. That. Imagine standing up after that flight. Jeez.
I would try to take like a melatonin, hopefully power through it.
Yeah, just sleep through the whole thing. I think you got to do it that way.
I don't know. I don't know because I don't think there's like a direct flight. I don't know. This is so off topic.
We're already planning logistics. You need to get your passport, though.
Stop bringing up my passport.
Sorry.
Leave me my passport alone.
On to Quali. So with an extremely shocking top three, we have Max P1, Checo P2, and Lando P3. So obviously great quality from Lando. And this surprised me. I just don't think I'd been keeping track of this, but this was Checo's first row in like over a year.
In over a year?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not realize that.
And then, so that was wild to me because I was like, well, he's won races. I guess it might have just been, it must have just been that long ago. And I guess he's just really not super strong of a qualifier in terms of like, he's not on the front row. He's not up next
But he's a fantastic racer. I mean, because he's gone second and been on the podium.
What confused me is I bet you he's had a good amount of P3s in quali. So then he's like been up and like doing the pictures in the interview. So just in my head, I was like, oh,
he's there.
He's up there. Yeah.
He's there.
And then another one I want to get your thoughts on was, so Esteban did make Q2, which in this year and this year's Alpine, that is quite the feat. He was very excited. And again, this was a feat. This was an achievement.
Well, because they brought upgrades this race, right?
They did. I don't know how great those upgrades were, but he did make Q2. Pierre did not. But he was screaming like he just won the world championship. And again, Esteban, I'm so happy for you, but it was jarring. It was jarring.
Yeah. I mean, couldn't be us. We wouldn't make it, but like.
Oh, no, I would be. There's like this rule where you have to like, your lap time has to be within like 150% of the race leader. And it's like an old rule from back when they used to have like rich people just like joining. So they like made this rule so that there was some sort of like control. I would like fail that miserably. They'd be like, get out of the car right now and like leave the track. Like get out of here.
Well, you know how they talk about too, like during quali, like so-and-so exceeded the time because it's always looked at and it's always safety reasons. They're like, well, we slow down for safety. And so they never actually give anyone a penalty for it. We would actually get a penalty.
Oh my gosh. So fast. I don't even think I'd make it down like the first straight before they'd be like, you've already like over, like it's also a whole lap time.
If any of the other cars were on track, I would stop functioning. I would start crying.
I would definitely start crying out of just stress. And then also, have you ever seen the clip of when Mark Webber had food poisoning and he was throwing up in the car? And then he gets on the radio and he's like, mate, like, I think I have to stop. But then he starts puking.
No.
No way. It's funny because he's fine. He's okay. It's fun. So we can laugh about it. But he's like, I'm throwing up in the car. And like that would be me. I'd be on the radio trying to be like, okay, what do I do now? And I just started puking from the stress.
Yeah.
So this is all to say this whole conversation is with the most peace and love, Esteban. What a feat. We could not do that. However, whoa, what a reaction.
You also like, you just can't do that. Maybe if you made Q3, then I can justify it a little bit more for you. It's Q2.
It was a lot. With peace and love. Anyway.
With peace and love. But the utmost respect, because we could never do it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Someone else who made Q2 with it being quite a feat, who didn't have quite the same reaction. But he is kind of a man of few words. Mr. Valtteri Bottas also made Q2 in the Sauber. So that was very exciting. Congratulations to him. But I think the big story, at least from my perspective, from quali, is V-Carb.
Yuki. Another successful Yuki quali.
Yuki crushed quali. Made it to Q3, qualified P10, but still made it to Q3. Very strong performance from him. And on the other side of the garage, Daniel Ricciardo once again missed out on Q2.
Yeah, he qualified P11.
Oh, missed out on Q3. My apologies. Yeah.
Yeah. Did I put that wrong in the notes?
Sorry, no, I was wrong.
But yeah, he qualified P11, so missed out on Q3. Definitely not the race weekend he was hoping for. And we'll dive more deeper into that. But
the horrors continue from here.
For Daniel Ricciardo.
But, and yes, like you look at it and it's P10 and P11, but their lap times, Yuki was a good chunk faster than him. And they had come out and said that they were making changes to Daniel's car. We didn't really get to see in a race, in race pace, race outfit, how that would have shaken out. But surely in quali, it did not put him where he needs to be, what I'm referring to is if we're assuming that all those rumors about Red Bull are right and him getting the Red Bull seat, he needs to be beating Yuki comfortably. And he has he even beat Yuki yet this season?
I don't think so. Do you even think it needs to be comfortably? He needs to beat him to get the Red Bull seat? Because I think they love him so much. It just needs to be
something.
Yeah.
Or even if he was putting up a fight, like.
Yeah.
But he's really not at this point. Like, he's really. It seems like he's like behind. If he was like, if you were showed me a list of these results and you were like, this is AlphaTauri/VCarb, like, guess who this is? I would have probably been like, this is probably Nick DeVries. Like, this.
What's up, Nick? Yeah.
Again, with peace and love, love you, Nick DeVries. So glad you have found your home back in Formula E. But, like, these results are not what I mean, definitely not what you and I expected.
No. I mean, I saw an article today, which I feel like is my catchphrase in this podcast. But I think the headline was something around what should have been his season of an audition is him barely scraping by.
Yeah. Like this, we entered this season with like, okay, so he's going to you know, beat Yuki this season. And then he's just going to, like, basically waiting for the Red Bull announcement, essentially. Yeah. It was my kind of thought of, like, when is that going to come? Like, when, what result is he going to have that's good enough for them to announce? And now it's like, when are we going to get the announcement that he's being replaced by Liam Lawson?
Oh, I do love me some Liam Lawson.
And we love rookies. We're big rookie people over here.
We're big rookie people. We're big give the rookies a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's so crazy. Which, again, we've talked about this, how he came in saying, it's going to be great to be here for like a year and then go to Red Bull, like finish my career there. And it's,
yeah, like it had gotten to the point where we were all almost like openly talking about it.
Yeah, we're all like, okay, so the Red Bull seat next year is going to be filled by Daniel. And then, yeah.
It's, and it's just, I don't even think they could, one, I know, like, we know how much they love him. Even if they, like, wanted to announce it, like, I don't even think they could justify announcing it with this performance unless it changes.
No, because it would just be like, oh, we're going to have Daniel here for team morale.
Yeah.
For good marketing.
Yeah. And I also will say the cameraman in Japan who every time Daniel did badly zoomed in on Liam Lawson. Diabolical. Diabolical.
You guys are messy.
I wonder if it was the same cameraman who like did this really artistic shot of like the reflection of Carlos's garage and then zoomed back out and then zoomed in and they were in the Red Bull pit wall and zoomed in on Christian Horner. Like, so what is weird. This cinematic, like, okay, sorry, I didn't realize I was watching Drive to Survive right now.
Honestly, Drive to Survive, get your boys because they need to be on it. No, that's so funny. Yeah, I forgot about all the artistic shots.
Oh my gosh, like every time he did something, which we'll get in a second, we'll get to the race. It was like immediately, like camera is like in on Liam Lawson. I would have been like,
oh my God.
Oh God.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's sort of the recap of quali. Not crazy eventful. But pretty, again, strong quali from Lando. Beyond that, nothing wild.
Go McLaren. Another top 10.
Another top 10.
Double top 10.
And then we got to the race. And the race for our East Coast friends was at 1 a.m. our time. And so I had arrived at a point in the evening where I was like, am I going to go to bed right now or am I going to stay up and watch the race? And I texted my friend Julie and I said, are you going to bed or are you staying up? And Julie said, I'm staying up. So I said, okay, I'll stay up too. And the race begins. And not three turns in.
Yeah.
Daniel Ricciardo and Alex Albon have an incident. They both DNF'd. I think it was Daniel's fault.
We're just going with the Daniel slander today.
I'm might so,
well,
like,
you might as well name the episode Daniel Ricciardo slander.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to be honest and
we love him.
And we love him. I have several pieces of your overpriced merch, Daniel.
Again, the
slander. Wow, I'm going in today.
You are going in today.
But I do think it was. So he essentially what happened was like Alex was coming up the outside, and I guess Daniel didn't see him. So Daniel moved over and like clipped Alex, and then they both went into the barriers.
Red flag race.
Yeah, so that immediately red flagged the race for about 30 minutes, at which point, which is why I brought up texting Julie, at which point Julie said, I'm going to go to bed.
I personally was sick, so I was already asleep, but yeah, I was able to just kind of coast through that.
At that point, when I decided to stay awake, was like, well, you know what I should do? Consume so much sugar. So I was like, well, I'm awake now anyway, so it's fine. I ate several chocolate chip cookies. Yes, sue me. Okay, I'm in a chocolate chip cookie phase at the moment. I need to chill. Anyway,
did you have some before we filmed?
No, maybe I do need to eat them to calm down though. Maybe I need to go.
Maybe you're going through withdrawal or something. Yeah,
I'm having chocolate chip cookie withdrawal. They're the Whole Foods one, the brown butter ones. Oh, they're so good.
Those are really good. Those are really good.
Hurt my stomach like no else, but I just can't stop myself.
Yeah.
So that ends and there's a standing restart, but Alex and Daniel both DNF'd from this. And this does raise some concerns for Williams, who have no chassis. So
they're out of chassis.
And according to my most recent context, they're not getting their spare chassis till Miami. So I don't really know what's the plan.
Until Miami?
So it seems like, because this is the, we didn't even bring this up, but this was messed up that they, so they repaired Alex's damaged chassis Australia.
How did we not talk about this?
And then it came out that Logan got the repaired chassis and Alex got to keep Logan's new, not damaged chassis. Which one, that's just kind of BS in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't get it. Williams will make a lot of excuses for you, but there's, give him back his car.
It's getting harder and harder to defend you, Williams.
Also, at this point, just announce that he's not coming back this year, next year, because like, this is how you're treating him.
It's because it's pretty clear from the way that you're, the decisions you're making and the way that you're treating him, that you have no faith in him, which is, yeah, sucks. Especially because I, over the last year or so, have just like slowly but surely become a staunch Logan Sargeant defender.
You're a Logie bear.
I'm a Logie bear.
That's what he calls his fans.
The Low Gang.
The Low Gang. Do not. Speaking of YouTube, like and subscribe. No way.
Yeah. No, absolutely not. But like, just admit it, I guess. And so now where we're at because of this crash, I don't know how bad the damage was on Alex's car, but by my count, that's, we're going to have two damaged repaired chassis in China.
Yeah, I guess they do have a week, right?
I would assume that they'll repair it, obviously, if there is even that much extent. I don't know how extensive the damage is. It didn't seem like it was a crazy hard crash.
It wasn't as bad as the Australia crash.
Yeah.
Definitely needed some like realignment. Those wheels were doing something crazy when they were craning those off. But
yeah, but I don't know how bad the C was.
I feel like they red flagged it really because they had to repair the barrier walls,
tire barriers and stuff.
Yeah. And so at least that's what I understood. And then Nico Hülkenberg in that time also took it upon himself to just sit in the pit lane in a chair.
I love when they just like relax and lounge. I'm like, I would be, I don't know how you can do that. You just like go relax for 30 minutes and then you have to, I will say a good point would be like, if you weren't happy with your start, this is a great opportunity to have another one because it was a standing restart.
Well, that was the thing too, because they were comparing, I think, Lando's and Checo's start times, and Lando was off by a decent amount on that start. So I can't remember if he did better or not in the second one.
But, good second shot.
He had a second shot. But everyone's fine. Everyone's okay.
Yeah, everyone's okay, and that's what's important. It'll be interesting to see. It seems like maybe because if the rumor was like a one or a two race ultimatum, I'd read that it was one race. We got a comment on TikTok that possibly it was a two race ultimatum from Helmut Marko. If that's the case, then it seems like there's a lot riding on China for Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah. And you know what? Red Bull's hiding Helmut because he would give us the answers.
Yeah. Let us add
hiding him.
We want to know.
The one time we want to talk to him.
When the world wants him to yap, you hide him away. Why can't you hide him away like every other time when we don't want to
like
hear him?
Like a superhero. Like when the world needed him most, he was nowhere to be found.
He vanished. I will just never get over the whole when the Christian Horner drama was going on. Do you remember that tweet that I showed you where it was like the rumor came out that Helmut Marko had been instructed that he can't talk to media? Then someone quote tweeted it and they were like, Helmut Marko, this exact second on Sky Germany. Like, literally, as that news came out, he was interviewing on Sky Germany. Oh, so funny.
Whoever the PR people are at Red Bull, just because of Helmut alone, probably are have so much anxiety. So
I give you so much credit, Red Bull PR team. So much credit.
And I mean, Max is also kind of a loose cannon. You guys are just got to be on edge.
Yes.
Year long.
Max is like left and right making jokes about him. He's going to just leave the sport.
He's just going to leave. He's going to crash the car. Like,
yeah.
So funny.
I love it. Love making drivers less media trained. It's so much more fun when they're not media trained.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing that made me kind of giggle during the red flag, it was like, what is the temperature in Japan? Fernando Alonso is in a full-on jacket zipped all the way up. Checo's getting those ice packs put on him. Hot. It's like, what is the temperature?
It's my understanding that it was warm. But
yeah,
sometimes, like, I don't think these, like, drivers interact maybe with temperature the same way that we do. Because also, like, several times there have been drivers showing up to races in like Saudi and like Abu Dhabi, famously extremely warm climates, in like full sweatshirts and jackets. Yeah.
Okay, Lando Norris, who always shows up in a hoodie and long pants.
Yeah.
And I mean, so and then there's Lewis, who definitely sacrifices his,
but that's for the fashion.
For fashion.
That's for the fashion. Yeah.
Yeah.
But back to the race, post the red flag. So we were off racing again, and Sauber still can't do pit stops. Shocker.
I mean,
I don't know what they're doing over there. I have no clue. I think this is one where I think I could do a better job than them.
We could
both be, which wheel should we be? Cause we could be like,
you want to be on the same wheel?
Yeah. Cause like one person takes the tire off, the other person, like,
do you want the screw? Do you want the screw, or do you want to put the tire on? I think I'm stronger than you, so I think I have to do the tire.
But do you think you need strength to do the wheel gun thing? You probably have to push it.
I don't think so, because you can hold it with two hands. You hold it with two hands, and you just.
Okay. Yeah. What do you think? What wheel do you think fits our vibe? Like front right?
Ooh, yeah, definitely the front. Definitely,
yeah, definitely the front.
Definitely on the front.
If I wonder if teams are looking for pit crew. We are willing, but only if we can do the front right together.
I wonder if there is a hierarchy. If anyone knows this, please let me know. Like, between what positions, like if you're doing the screw, if you're doing the tire, if you're doing the
like, is it like tenure? Like cranks,
whatever. If there's between that, and then also if there's a hierarchy on what wheel you're on, or at least what half of the car you're on. I feel like there has to be
some way they organize it. Yeah. Or what if it's just like at the beginning of every season, there's a sign-up sheet and you have to like run to the sheet and pick your spot. That could be it too.
That'd be really funny. Be like, oh dang, I got the back right again.
It's like, oh, I didn't want front left.
My friends are all in the back left. I wanted.
Oh, they're all going to become a loser.
Yeah.
We could write a reality show.
We need to move on. This is. If you guys are still listening, thank you. We're going to power through, I promise.
Okay. Let's time to focus up. We also, before we even started recording, had like a whole side conversation that we kept being like, we need to start the episode. And like, so we're just kind of on one today, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
I have notes and on my notepad next to me of things that Jamie and I are going to talk about after we're done filming.
Yeah, the don't you worry, the yapping will continue.
Yapping doesn't stop just because the cameras are off.
But so speaking of Sauber not being able to do pit stops, this is unrelated, but in the same vein, Zhou Guanyu did DNF.
Yeah, after going to the pit lane like four times, and it was like, you might as well retire because he's so far behind.
Yeah. And Alpine,
he said it was a gearbox issue, I think.
Yeah. Alpine, the horrors continue over there. P15 and P16 for them after upgrades. So, you know, we soldier on. It's a long season.
What?
Best of luck 18th, to you.
18th and 19th to 15th and 16th post upgrades.
Yeah, with three DNFs. The only driver they finished in front of was Logan, who had
it. That is true.
So
I forgot about the DNFs.
Yikes. And Logan had an incident late in the race, so I think he might have, had he not had that finish in front of
him. Yeah, his own fault, though.
Yeah, he locked Logan, up. Dude. He locked up.
He's got to lock it in.
Yeah.
Come on.
It is, like, as a staunch defender, becoming harder and harder to defend.
It's so hard when it's like, okay, you're doing great. Keep going. And then you...
I saw the craziest tweet.
This is going to be our longest episode ever.
I know, but I have to share this. Someone tweeted, Logan Sargeant is really just Latifi with fans.
Latifi? Nicholas Latifi had fans.
Not as many as Logan.
I was a fan. The GOAT?
I love Nicholas Latifi. I hope he's enjoying. He's in school now.
Yeah, isn't he getting his, like, MBA?
Yeah, I think he's at, like, Harvard or something, somewhere fancy.
Yeah, he's doing fine.
Yeah, but yeah, that tweet really was a punch to the gut for me personally.
Oh God, yeah.
But continuing, and you know, just the horrors continue. Mercedes finished P7, George finished P7, and Lewis finished P9.
Yeah, not great.
So more struggles over there. The Mercedes social admin is, I think, actively having a breakdown.
I think so too. Like, they posted a picture of, like, was it George with, like, a shark?
Yeah. And then they posted this thing where it was like, it was that meme where it's like, if you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best. And it was literally like, if you can't handle me at my, in a picture of the W15, you don't deserve me at my, in a picture of the W11. Which I felt was just a bit like, okay, what are we doing here?
I think they're hurt. I think everyone's just,
yeah. And I think they're struggling to connect with a fan base, now that they're struggling, which is crazy as a Ferrari fan. Like, there's nothing that team could do. I'm locked in like a prisoner. Like, there's nothing that team.
It is funny though. No matter how bad they do. Their tactic on social media is like what thirst traps and really artsy race posters.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Alpine, who kind of crushing. Albert also
solid.
Sauber is just like, we know we're not going to do well, but we're going to be funny.
Yeah. And they're doing, and you know what? And they're here for a good time, not a long time, literally.
Yeah. So, literally, like, 2 years.
Literally. But last one, I guess, with the horrors continue. Lance and Fernando are pretty unhappy with the straight line speed of the Aston. And Lance had quite the voice crack. Unfortunately, it was broadcasted to the world, complaining about the straight line speed. So sorry, Lance, that must stink. But we will see how that continues throughout the season, because, you know, they started off so, so strong beginning of 2023. But I think really what happened was they, you know, started off maybe like half a step ahead of everyone. Yeah. And it seems that everyone has sort of caught up and overtaken them now. Yeah. So a bit of a rebuild for them. They're going to have to.
And I feel like even last year, like where they ended, because they tried to bring upgrades, and I feel like that brought them back down.
Yeah, like reverse.
And then they haven't been able to get to that other spot. Yeah. And then, like you said too, everyone is taking steps forward. So they're surpassing, and it's, yeah.
Some work to do over there. But on to the positives.
Yeah.
We got yoints. Yuki got points. We got yoints. That's
so funny. Did you just make that up? I've never
heard I saw it on TikTok.
I like it.
Yuki finished P10 in his home race. The crowd went wild. He had a fantastic weekend, fantastic race.
Yeah, he did.
So some great, there was at one point he was in this like cluster that came out after a pit stop, and just Kevin Magnussen was being Kevin Magnussen and driving like a madman. And he like very skillfully kind of just like sailed right by and overtook several people to finish in the points. So that was,
this is the year we want and need 100% of the time.
Yes. Loved it. He he was really just on it this whole weekend, it seemed like. Mm-hmm. Just really on it. Seems very comfortable with the car. But overall, like, lots, this was just a really good race. Like, lots of overtaking, obviously not a battle for the win, because Max was ahead of everybody by like 25 seconds or something like that.
Yeah.
But in throughout the field, there was a lot of battling, lots of even overtaking and like interesting parts of the track.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the top, I mean, not Max, like two to five, like, that switched up pretty often.
There was lots of movement around there. Yeah. So that was very exciting.
It was.
There was a little bit of like a George versus Oscar right at the end. That was really entertaining. George was really trying to overtake. Oscar was really defending. That was really good to watch. But our final podium, which we'll have to go back and check, but I think I might have predicted this 100% correct.
Ooh,
was
you probably did, because you always just say Carlos. It's like the same thing with the driver of the day voting.
Yeah, did he win? I didn't look.
I don't know.
He should have.
Because I didn't vote because I watched it later.
Oh, you watched it late. Yeah. P1 Max, P2 Checo, and P3 Carlos, who now, as of now, has a 100% podium rate for every race he's done this year.
Pretty good.
So, really good. And he was on a different tire strategy to most of the people up at the top, so he had to do a later pit stop. And at one point I was like, oh, is he like not gonna make it back up to the podium spots? And at that point it would have been, I think Charles Leclerc would have been P3. So again, solid results team wise for me, but I wanted Carlos up there.
The tire strategy for this race was really interesting, because everyone was kind of doing something different.
Some people, there was such a difference in, you could see in the start with people who started on the softs versus people who started on the mediums, but really over the course of the race, like the softs fell off so quickly, and even the mediums even fell off pretty fast. So a lot of people were on hards, but Carlos was not. Carlos was on the mediums. So
yeah, it was great. That's why I was like, it's got to. I should have just looked it up, but I didn't. But
I think their track is like more bumpy or something. Like the track surface is actually a little bit more rough than others. I could be wrong about that though.
Okay.
But overall, a fantastic race.
That sounds like it works for me. Enjoyed the race for sure. Even though it was another Max win.
I think that what they need to lean into is like, If we have Max winning, but we have like entertainment going on down the grid, like then it's still an entertaining race to watch.
Yeah.
It's when it's like, we've had a few of these. We had like a good amount of them last year, I feel like, where it was like, yeah, Max is 30 seconds ahead and everyone's just sort of like in a DRS train. Like, no, there's nothing really happening.
Yeah.
So now that I think some teams are closer together, even like, you know, up at the top, we have Ferrari kind of, I would say Ferrari's pretty clearly ahead of like second place, but there are still like opportunities for battles, and there's definitely in the midfield a lot of opportunities for that. So
yeah, like definitely overall the drivers championship I feel like is pretty close point wise. Constructors on the other hand, there's a big dip between two and three between Ferrari and McLaren.
Yes,
you know, Ferrari is close to Red Bull still, so.
Yeah. Should we do a little quick points check-in?
Yeah, do a quick. Do you have it pulled up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so obviously P1 in the constructors is Red Bull with 141 points, P2 Ferrari with 120, McLaren behind them in P3 with 69 points, Mercedes in P4 with 34 points. Definitely a gap there. So that's like the gaps between two and three and four are pretty big. Yeah. But then Aston Martin only 1 point behind Mercedes with 33 points. In sixth, we have RB with 7 points behind them. In seventh, Haas has 4 points. And then Williams in eighth, Sauber in ninth, and Alpine in 10th, all with zero.
If those bottom three teams if you had to pick a team that scores no points this season, a goose egg season.
Sauber.
Oh.
Or no, wait, I changed my answer. Otmar's Revenge, Alpine.
Revenge. Is whatever voodoo doctor he's working with, he should give her a tip because.
Yeah. Also, like, can you give me her number? Like, I would love to work some voodoo.
I got some people I want. Revenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be funny. Yeah, I was definitely thinking Alpine.
It's hard though, because I don't want the drivers to experience that, but there are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of want maybe Alpine, if they have a really bad season, then they'll sell you Andretti and they'll get rid of their Renault requirement.
Yeah.
So. We'll see.
We'll see.
But no race this weekend, sadly. We are prepping, but so the week after this weekend is our first sprint of the year, and we are finally back in China. We have not been in China for a good amount of time.
And we are still poor East Coasters. Races are at 3 a.m.
Yeah, just start prepping if you're one of our East Coast friends, start prepping your sleep schedule now, because race weekend, obviously 18th through 21st of April, FP1 is at 11:30 p.m. Sprint quali is at 3:30 a.m. The sprint, not too bad, is at 11 p.m.
Yeah.
Quali is at 3 a.m. and the race is at 3 a.m. So
I am excited to be back on that track because
it's been so long.
I wasn't a fan. The only way I've seen China is through like Drive to Survive. That's the only way I've seen it. So I'm excited to be back.
Yeah. We've never seen a live race in China. So this is
our first sprint, even though we don't like the sprint format.
We like it sprint. We just don't like this. We are team old sprint format.
The last sprint format.
So, but I appreciate anything where I feel like there's more stuff to watch. Mm-hmm. I occasionally will watch free practices, but there's not, you know, you're watching them practice. So this is, you know, more stuff, and there's two qualies, so that'll be good. And I'm excited to see this track. So,
yeah,
but no race this weekend. So we will talk to you next week, and we'll have something fun up our sleeves to chit chat to you about. But in the meantime, have a lovely, lovely week. Love you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.